Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us here in our Bear Sunroom studios is our buddy Adam McCalvey, who I would say that you've been a little bit busy from MLB.com and Brewers.com over the last, 24, 48 hours. And really even going back to last week when Yasmani Grandal signed. So yeah. How you been, man?
Good. Yeah, busier than usual. I mean, normally we're lamenting that nothing's happening
right
in this new Ivy League era of baseball general managing, but these guys are active so far this year. And for the Brewers, it's been, well, obviously a little more notable of who they have removed compared to who they have added.
And you and I are sitting here talking during the break, and you and I are of the same mindset that we're kind of sitting back and saying, okay, let's wait for the other shoes to fall before we go nuts. You have to spend the money. You can't waste years of the window with Christian Yelich. This is the last year you'll have with that full outfield, that complement of outfielders and Braun, Kane, and Yelich. You know you've got a pretty good nucleus in the middle infield. Now you just got to fill in your corner power spots to make up those 90 home runs that you're going to lose between Moustakas.
That's all.
You know, but there's work to be done, and you got to fill in some pitching as well. And let's start, though, with the rumor of Josh Hader.
Yeah.
For fans that don't understand why would the Brewers be shopping him?
Well, look, I think you always look at the team in totality if you're the general manager. You have to think about fielding an entire roster. And Josh Hader is a really valuable asset right now whose cost is going up. There's some risk involved with Josh Hader because of the workload he has, because of the way he pitches, the max effort style in which he pitches. And he's really good. His value is potentially as high as it's ever going to be. So if other teams come calling with a really good offer, I think you're a fool not to at least consider it. But to me, there is a big difference between listening and being open to trading a player and shopping a player.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes teams get in, you know, Scooter Gennett a couple of years ago, the Brewers are actively trying to shop him because they didn't see a home for him. That's very different, you know, of what's happening with Josh Hader. So I would think that David Stearns is more of the open mind stance on Josh Hader and not necessarily in the looking to deal. But to step back and take the taller view, you know, they got a lot of work to do.
Right.
This is a lot different offseason than it was last year, where the team was basically set and they filled in around the edges and then made some splashes at the end. This is a pretty significant remaking of the roster. And I would sort of caution people against, you know, deciding that the team that it is today is the team it's going to be on opening day. As David Stern said, there is a long way to go. And as you said, Bill, if they're going to tear this thing down and, you know, slash payroll and go into next year with a significantly decreased, you know, payroll and roster, you got to say it. And they're not saying that.
No.
And I don't think they're going to do that with Christian Yelich in the absolute prime of his career.
I was reading the comment from David Stearns, who said no. He had talked about that they're not ripping it apart, but he said we're working on fielding, and then the word he used was a very competitive team. I don't know why, but that word bothers me because I always hear teams being competitive. You know, the Pirates want to be competitive. As a Brewers fan, I don't want my team to be competitive. We've been competitive. I want to win. I want to see that you are contending. Not competitive. There's a big difference between being competitive in the division and contending for a World Series.
I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I took that when he said that to us last night to mean competitive, to mean we want to win the World Series.
Okay.
You know, you get to within a game of the World Series 2 years ago.
Right.
Agree. You know, really 7 innings from the World Series.
10 minutes turned it around.
And, you know, I think that's – I don't want to put words in David Stern. Is he going to be out this week?
David, that's a great question. I don't know. I have
to pressure him here on
it. Thursday at 5.
There
he's going to be here. He will not be on this program, but he will be here at some point.
I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation because, you know, as we talked to him last night, and we'll get into this in the winter meetings next week. There's some time to sort of ask about the team. Last night was sort of more granular about the decision on Travis Shaw, Jimmy Nelson. Those are guys who were a key part of that team.
And you understand it, though.
Yeah.
You know, Travis Shaw, unfortunately, has struggled mightily. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, even though he got him at a cheaper rate, Orlando Arcia, you know, his glove has kept him in the lineup because offensively he's been all or nothing, and there's been more nothing than there's been all. He really kind of, to me, earned a little bit more because he was really key in that postseason that took him to the cusp of a World Series. But, boy, I was really hoping for a bounce-back year this year, and it just never materialized.
Yeah, and look, if they wouldn't have got the deal they wanted money-wise with him, he would have been on that list as well, and there would have been another opening. So they have significant moves to make to field a competitive slash World Series caliber team for next year. And I guess my point is, I would think David Stearns has earned a little bit of trust with the moves he's made. But, you know, look, it is the beauty of baseball's offseason is kind of reacting to moves as they happen. And if you're reacting to what the Brewers look like right now, you're not very confident. I would just say, you know, there's players out there. He's shown a knack for being A, creative in the moves he make, and B, surprising the hell out of us with moves. So there's some significant moves ahead, I would venture.
I equate this to sitting back. I had mentioned before, I'm in a large leather wingback chair smoking a cigar, drinking a beer in a bar, and I'm watching across the bar to see what the guy does.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. I think if you leave it stand pat, you're upset as a fan. I think if you understand where he's going and that maybe he's just going to kind of pull some money in, then regroup, and then spend it back out again, I'm good with it. You know, I mean, it has to be the right deals. But you understand also where the weaknesses were. You hope to get Corey Knebel back. That would be almost like getting a free agent, you know, another arm back. And then you can utilize Hader more properly. Last year, it was all over the road. You were trying to get the max out of him, and by the end of the season, you saw what happened. So I'm excited for the season, I think more so, because there is going to be, in my opinion, a far different level of energy in camp this year at training camp down in Phoenix. It is either going to be, wow, look what they've done, and we're excited, or, oh, my God, what the hell? And it's going to be one of the two. Yeah. And when we walk in and we start doing our broadcasts, I'm hoping for that spiking level of energy. Last year it was great because you're coming out of an almost World Series, so there was a lot of optimism. They kept the band together.
Yeah.
But you knew you had question marks because you knew pitching was going to be the Achilles heel, and they had to do bullpens and management and all that kind of stuff. Tell me one thing. How in the world does Craig Counsell not get Manager of the Year?
I don't know. I a lot of my MLB.com colleagues who had that vote, you know, sometimes we'll call around in those couple of days you have to get your ballots in. I had some calls, people asking, you know, and I said, well, I don't – here's the case for Craig Counsell. And it's two straight years of squeezing the absolute most out of a pitching staff.
Right.
In each of the last 2 years, the Brewers were middle of the pack or bottom half in Major League Baseball in pitching for 5 months, and then best in Major League Baseball in pitching in the month of September. And I would say in 2018 – pretty darn good into October as well. A couple of Jeremy Jeffress pitches going the wrong way turned things around for the Brewers in that 2018 postseason. So, look, every manager in every city gets criticized. Every team thinks they have a terrible manager, that he can't manage a bullpen. That happens everywhere.
Well,
but the evidence says Craig Counsell is pretty good at it.
I said that when you look at the average amount of moves that he makes in a game, multiply that by 162, he's probably one of the top five managers as far as overall moves made in all of baseball.
Yeah.
And to still have a team that came from what you thought might be out of it to a team that still found its way into the postseason, and he did it with a bunch of guys that were call-ups and kind of mixed and matched and decoupaged things together, there's a mastery to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think he got nearly enough credit for that.
Well, that's the hardest, from the voters' point of view, that's the hardest one to vote on, too. Because, look, Mike Schilt and the St. Louis Cardinals had an amazing second half, and that team surged and won the division. So, you know, and what do I know, watching the Milwaukee Brewers every day, about what's happening behind the scenes in the Cardinals clubhouse and the role that Mike Schilt has on the Cardinals? That's a really hard award to vote on. Sometimes it comes down to, like, you know, manager of the most surprising team award.
Right.
And look, all three guys were very good. I thought Counsell had a good line where he said, "The award I'm worried about is that World Series trophy."
Is the one.
So that's the right way to look about it. But we'll see now next year that those rules are going to be different. No more 40-man roster, so they're going to have to be probably a little bit handle the pitching a little bit differently, although it'll still be, you know, a couple extra hands on deck.
We're here inside the Bears Sunroom Studios here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek. Come on by and say hi and drop off a new unwrapped toy or a monetary donation for the kids at Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. We got more with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face high behind your Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We are broadcasting live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. It's a toy drive, and please, if you're within the sound of our voice and you're enjoying the program, maybe give back a little, and whether it's yourself or maybe you go out and take your kids shopping for other kids, that'd be fantastic too. It's what I did yesterday with the kids down here. But come on out to Blaine's Farm and Fleet. You can drop off a new unwrapped toy. We have an entire semi to fill, and we got a big start yesterday. A little bit of a slow day today, to be honest with you. So, please, if you're thinking about it, what can I do to get you off the schneid, kind of take you off the chair, if you will? So come on by and pick up a toy at Toyland, or maybe you have something already. Even if you just drive by, hell, just you don't even have to get out of your car. Just hang your credit card out the window. They'll come out and bring the dip jar to you and say, how much? Okay, here you go, and drive away. Anything helps, and we would certainly appreciate you hanging out with us and helping us out for the Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, where they have the Karuba Coffee, which is fantastic. But also, if you go in, you can get registered for the Packers opening drive contest. Just use your Quick Rewards card. You can get some Johnsonville Brats, the Quickery Buns, and so much more. Just use it, and you could be part of the Brewer or the Packers opening drive contest. We are talking Brewers. Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us here in our Bear Sunroom Studios here on site. So we're talking about all the different things they have to do. What is the priority right now? Is it you got to fill that void of catching? Or to me, it's just whatever deal I think comes your way because everybody wants to prioritize it. But you need a catcher, man.
Yeah, that's a really important position, obviously. To me, you know, they've got these big holes at catcher, first base, third base that just jump out at you.
Right.
But I think it's still the pitching. You know, you traded Chase Anderson and Zach Davies as part of this payroll slash to put yourself in a position of having all, you know, as much flexibility as possible. You've got to fortify that group. And, you know, Bill, you talked about all the home runs they've lost.
Right.
All the offensive player, just all the offense they've lost. You know, if you can be more of a pitching and defense team, you can perhaps overcome some of that, but that requires getting some arms. I mean, Brandon Woodruff has established himself now as a nice piece to put up there at the top. But after that, man.
What's your rotation look like right now?
I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. What's it look like? I mean, Eric Lauer's in there.
Lauer's in there.
I think a lefty in the rotation.
I think Adrian Hauser's in there. I think he did enough over the year. But, I mean, look, that's not a guy that's a guy that's not done it before over the course of a full year. Look, what are you doing with Corbin Burns? What are you doing with Freddie Peralta? Those might be bullpen guys coming up. Where's Brent Suter best fit? He was so good in that multi-inning middle of the game role, up to three innings. You know, do you want to mess with that? Do you want to put him at the front of the game? They have a lot of questions to answer about internally what they've got. But I guarantee you there are pieces that they will add from the outside. You just need them. All these innings that you've cut loose. Zach Davies was your leading pitcher in terms of innings last year. Chase Anderson has given you a lot of innings over the last bunch of years, even though they used him in kind of that twice through the order and then go to the pen type of a role. David Stearns is going to add some pitching. And I still don't think it's going to be Gerrit Cole. But, you know,
so Strasburg isn't flying in anytime soon.
No, he's not. No, those guys know generally where they want to go, and I think they're going to be closer to a body of water larger than Lake Michigan.
Right.
That's
okay.
My prediction. One of the coasts. But look, Zach Wheeler, I mean, that would be a huge, that would be the biggest deal the Brewers have ever signed for. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Jordan Lyleses of the world. And you think back a couple of years ago, Jolie Chassin, that 2-year deal, year two obviously did not work.
No, that was bad.
Year one was really good, and if you paid $13.5 million for what Chassin did for you that first year, it's probably a deal that's worth doing.
Yeah.
So there's deals like that, I think. And, you know, David Stearns has been taking some heat, I think, going into each of the last few years about not having enough pitching. And then the results have come out that their pitching has actually performed pretty well. So that's another area where I feel like give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Do you feel, though, that you are living on nine lives and you could have your lives run out?
And sure.
Because people are just loading up. I mean, going into last year, I'm listening to Dan Plesac down on a Chicago station talk about the only reason you do bullpen by committee and you do it this way and they have it started is because you don't have good pitching.
Sure.
And I'm listening to other pundits in baseball say, well, you have to do it this way because you haven't qualified for good pitching. So people are looking over the fence going, you don't have good pitching and you know it. You're just going to figure out a way to do a Band-Aid method. And you can't expand the roster at the end of the season. So how are you going to sustain that for an entire year? And if you go in and you lose it in September, people are going to point the finger and say, we all saw this coming. How come you didn't?
Alternatively, two things. One, if you go sign a big boy and you commit
tons of money to
Yu Darvish,
yeah,
and it turns out to not work,
right,
now you're in a totally different bad position.
Right.
That's almost harder to climb out of. So that's one problem with giving big money to the very top pitchers. Teams like the Brewers, they can certainly, you can argue they can afford it, but when it goes bad, it becomes a huge problem.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is just that, sometimes when you operate on a different budget than the big teams, you have to be a little bit more creative about the way you do things. Looking for that market inefficiency, looking for the way to get things done that's a little different than what the Dodgers are doing. Teams have been doing that forever. I mean, that's where Moneyball came from with the rise of on-base percentages, the magical stat. So the Brewers are sort of have looked at their pitching, I think, that way the last couple of years. But look, all that said, coming off of the World Series that we just saw with those teams stocked with aces, legit number one guys, I don't think the Brewers are going to be able to build a staff like that in one offseason, but they are going to add some sort of steady innings-eating type pitchers to this rotation. I think, and to me, that still has got to be, when you sort of think about this offseason as a whole, I would think that's a priority of David Stearns beyond, obviously he's got positions to fill too, but the pitching seems really important this offseason.
If you had to sit here right now and look at this division, who's your leader in the division? Is it, you just default go to the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, I always feel like when you're the champs, you're the team to beat.
Okay.
And
they've got some guys signed from last year that are still there this year, so
they've still got
fortified.
They've still got a nice team.
And their big deal last year was Goldschmidt coming in the offseason, who finally performed at the second half of the season for them.
The Cubs are going to be really interesting, I think, coming off a dismal season that resulted in some big changes. David Ross at the helm. They've got a lot of talent when you look at that team on paper, and I wouldn't count them out. And then, look, your Cincinnati Reds, man.
They've made some moves.
Slowly.
Signing Moustakas.
Building.
And we know last year, look, Sonny Gray was looking to rebound his pitching, and Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell had the answer for that. And what they've done down into that pitching staff has been nothing short of amazing. So all they need is some pop in that lineup. And surrounded around Joey Votto, who didn't seem to get, old. Who knows? I mean, that's a formidable team now.
Yeah, I would.
Although Moose is going to play second for them.
That's what it sounds like. You have Suarez, 50-homer guy at third. And Brewers helped him get comfortable there, so it comes back to bite him.
Oh, that's a hell of a ballpark to hit into.
Oh, a left-handed hitter at that park, He's going to do well there. And look, he's a guy who has been, I think as much as any player I can think of, been hurt by the analytical revolution because the analytics, the metrics don't tell the full story of Mike Moustakas. And the numbers don't love his defense. The numbers don't love some of the things he does offensively. But then when you see him play, when you see him in a clubhouse, when you hear guys talk about what he does on a team, there's some secret sauce there that doesn't show up in the numbers. And, in a sense, I would say this. For the guys in the Brewers clubhouse, I think there's guys who are happy to see him get compensated because he is – sort of been left out. Look, he made $10 million next year, so I'm not saying he's struggling, but he got a nice deal that he'd been looking for a couple of years, and I think a lot of his Brewers teammates are happy about that, even though they're sad to see him go to a rival.
Is there a way to not only bring in pieces, but to continually stockpile that farm system, which has been depleted via the trades over the last few years?
And look, that is a big factor in this offseason as well, and it also is part of the story of David Stearns giving himself as much payroll flexibility as possible is that he no longer has the big blue chip type prospects to make significant trades. And that's because he got Christian Yelich. And it's because he got Mike Moustakas for Brett Phillips. And it's because he picked up Drew Pomerantz, a move that was so panned in July when that happened, mm-hmm. for Mauricio Dubon. But look back, man, what a great trade that was for the Brewers. So they've traded a lot of their high-end prospects. And as a result, they have one of the lowest-rated farm systems in baseball. So it's going to be harder to make impact trades this winter unless you're further depleting the major league roster like they had to do in that trade with the Padres. And that's another reason to go out and free as much payroll space as you have, because it does look like they're going to have to use free agency this winter, maybe more than last to fill holes.
It pains as a fan to know that you threw so many stones into the pond hoping for the big splash, and you didn't win it.
Well, look,
I mean, you're back to kind of rebuilding a farm system, trying to hang on with a team. You know, at least you have a little bit of money to spend. The one thing that I've asked everybody. I asked Rick Schlesinger. I asked everybody but Mark Attanasio, who I've yet to get on. But I've asked Rick Schlesinger. I've asked David Stearns. I've asked Craig Counsell. I said, if it comes down to a couple of players and you need the money, and they've all said to a man, money would not be the object.
Yeah.
It would not be the obstacle. I want to know, I guess, now what is the qualifier for, we believe we're right there, we have to go get the one more piece, to where Mark would say, let's do that.
Well, look, I mean, there's no firm answer to that question, because I think that over the years they have shown a willingness when Mark is presented with an opportunity. I think he said yes when the general manager at the time can make a case that it makes sense.
No, he said yes at CC Sabathia.
Oh, he
went
said,
out and got him, said yes at Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke, Sean Markham.
Yeah, Sean Markham.
You know, that 2011, they really unloaded the farm system. Think about going into 2011. And that was a decision at the time, because Prince Fielder was going into the final year of his deal. It was pretty obvious to everybody that he was going to get a contract that the Brewers couldn't go to.
Right.
So that was a decision point for them. Do they try to trade Prince Fielder? Do they try to do a little mini rebuild at that time, and go that way? But no, they pushed all the chips in and went for it. And again, they got to within that time 2 wins of the World Series. So their problem is that when they've done this, they've gotten close, but they've not gotten over the hump. And, you know, look, does that mean it's a regrettable thing that they did? I don't know. I think that's sports. You pick the time to really push the envelope, and then you rely on the players to get you as far as they can go. And since 1982 here, unfortunately, they just haven't gotten over that final little hump to the World Series.
We keep living on the past, and man, you got to present your own future at some point in time. Man, oh man. Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by our friends that bring us down here to the Toy Drive, Direct Drive Logistics and Direct Drive Express, Kremke Trucking, Lincoln Contractor Supply, CarStar Milwaukee, and Eagle Disposal. Adam, great to see you, buddy. Glad.
Yeah.
It's like Punxsutawney Phil, man. We see you in the wintertime. We know the GM meetings are right around the corner when you show up at the Toy Drive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Another, what is it, 2.5 months of winter.
Yeah, I know.
Two and a half months. God, that's it.
Yeah. It starts to fly. Once you get past Christmas, then you have a short period of time.
Well, winter meetings are Sundays, flying to San Diego.
Right.
And look, because there's been actually some moves lately, we might have something more to talk about this
winter
year
meetings,
at the winter meetings.
Holiday, then you get into the postseason of football, Super Bowl, then all of a sudden, bam, pitchers and catchers, and how are we looking? So
it's coming. So let's talk again when they get there. And we'll see what this roster
looks
with
all the stuff that's going on, I got you on speed dial. So we'll keep you. That is Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us down here at the Toy Drive. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.